Imagine standing on the side of I-4 trying to find an opportunity to cross as semis whiz by. Only you don't know exactly what these things are because in this imaginary scenario, you are a bear. What you do know is that these whirring monstrosities are fast, loud, and frightening. Maybe you need to get to the other side because there's a fresh water or food source over there, or you may have been evicted from your home territory because of competition from a bigger, stronger bear. Anyway, you've left the safety of the trees and have now come to face the roadway and a dizzying bustle of rapid movement. Considering that well over 100 black bears are killed on Florida roadways each year, you'd have reason to be intimidated by all this. I know I was. I'm just off the shoulder of Interstate 4, and ahead of me, buses, semis, cars, and motorcycles are speeding by. I've hiked up to the roadway with Joe Guthrie, Carlton Ward Jr., and Elam Stolfus of the Florida Wildlife Corridor Expedition. Guthrie, Ward, and Stolfus are on a 1,000-mile journey through Florida advocating the protection of a corridor of natural lands. The team is crossing this Volusia County section of I-4 after coming from their campsite at Longleaf Preserve. Without crossing this highway, it wouldn't be possible for them to get to the next portion of their route on foot. In Volusia County, there's a system of linked conservation and agricultural lands, but they bottleneck here at I-4 near the major connection between Daytona Beach and Orlando. Also along for the I-4 crossing is University of Central Florida biologist Daniel Smith. Smith has been involved in plans for wildlife underpasses that are in the works for I-4 in Volusia County's District of the Department of Transportation. He says underpasses will increase permeability of I-4 for wildlife, including black bears and other smaller species.
So things like bobcats and fox, all sorts of reptiles and amphibians, which are very prevalent out here with the quantity of wetlands out in this habitat. So.
After the successful group dash across Interstate 4, Smith and expedition co-leader Joe Guthrie discover what they believe to be a casualty of the roadway, a deceased eastern diamondback rattlesnake.
But the size of the head, though, see, that's actually pretty small. So, yeah, this is a young rattlesnake. It may have crawled this far and then died.
There's no sign of
If a predator would have got it, I think he would have probably at least eaten part of it. But the fact that it may have crawled here and then now it's just this whole region's covered with ants. So yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe it did crawl this far before it finally succumbed.
Further on, we came to the spot for one of the future wildlife underpasses. Smith says this site was chosen in part because there are public conservation lands on both sides of the road here.
The I-4 corridor has really been heavily developed. But this is one section where we still have protected habitat. It'd be very beneficial to make this road more permeable. One thing about Interstate 4 is in this particular area where we are, there's over 50,000 cars a day that travel this road. And it makes it really a major barrier for wildlife movement. Probability of road kills is very high on this highway.
Smith tells expedition members Ward and Guthrie that the Florida Department of Transportation has a policy in place to avoid creating wildlife crossings adjacent to private lands when there's uncertainty about future development potential of those lands.
In public ownership or conservation easements or some sort of an agreement that shows that it's going to be protected for at least 50 years, they're willing to entertain, you know, the investment in building wildlife crossings.
The next morning, expedition members Ward and Stolfus are fine-tuning their plans for the next few days, including 2 days of roughly 12-mile hikes, followed by a day of paddling.
This is going to be more of a narrow ribbon of water, you know, probably a little less wide than the Coosahatchee, maybe like the Coosahatchee, probably less wide.
Yeah. Let's
let's compare it real quick to the St. John's that we paddled down on.
They're looking at maps on their iPhones. To keep the expedition on route and on time, they reassess daily. Those iPhones are pretty crucial to the vision of a connected Florida. Expedition co-leaders Ward and Guthrie will have to continue to stay engaged with the public through social media, plus frequently be in contact with land managers, policymakers, and potential donors to the corridor project throughout the end of the expedition and beyond. For WFIT, I'm Michelle Walker.